Thank you again for coming tonight. My voice is a little bit weak tonight for some reason. It got weaker on me, not stronger. So I may not be able to speak as loudly, but again, if I have to, like I did on Sunday morning or Sunday school, I'll throw books if you start nodding off or anything. So stick with me. All right. Joshua chapter number 24. When you read the Bible, do you let yourself see it take place? It makes a big difference. If when you read the scriptures, especially when you're reading something that has with it a historical account, something that actually takes, that has actually taken place. Now, in the New Testament, we have a lot of instruction that you wouldn't be able to see it so much. But in the Old Testament, especially as God lays out for us how his plan for redemption came through the line of Israel, through the line of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and all of the historical things that happened. If you let the scriptures come to life, if you see them in living color, it really does help you understand some of the nuances of things that are said or things that are done. So I would encourage you anytime you read it, especially in the passage we're about to read. The people of Israel have just spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Moses is dead. Joshua is the leader. They've crossed the river. They're getting ready to go into the land of Canaan. Joshua gathers the people of Israel together. His backdrop, two mountains that stand about 3,000 feet in the air. He's gathering the people together. And in essence, what Joshua is doing is he's saying, hey, before you go, I have a couple more things that we need to go over again. Some things I need to say to you. Kind of some last minute instruction. Any of you have parents that always gave last minute instruction? My mom always, we tease my mom mercilessly. In fact, still today, when we leave, oftentimes we'll leave, if I'm with my mom and I'm getting ready to leave, I'll say, hey mom, watch out for the trains. Because that's kind of like the last thing she would say. And we didn't even live near train tracks. For you guys, that would be legitimate. For us, we never lived near trains. But that's just kind of one of the things that mom said. Okay, so here's Joshua, and he's giving these last minute instructions. In my mind's eye, let yourself see it. The mountains, two of them, 3,000 feet in the air. In my mind, I see Joshua standing on a large boulder. And the people of Israel have gathered together. Now, they're in mass, so not all of them can hear everything that Joshua is about to say. But this is one of those scenes that unfolds as something larger than life. Something that's bigger than what you and I see on a regular basis. And Joshua stands, and at the end of his explanation of everything that God had said, Joshua makes a statement that's well known. It's well known for a reason. Joshua 24, verse number 14, Joshua's finishing up his conversation with the people of Israel before they go into the land to conquer it. And he says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a great statement for Joshua to make. Let's pray, and then let's take some time to look at it and see what we can learn tonight. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I confess my inability to be able to do anything, to say anything that's going to mean or convince or work in the hearts of the people who are here. But you can, and this is what you have laid out. This is what you revealed and what you wrote down for us in order to learn the things that we need to learn. God, I pray that tonight you'd help me to be clear and succinct with what your word says and help us to learn the lessons that we need to. I ask this, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you were to try to boil the verses that we just read down to two words, in fact, Joshua's entire message to Israel before he sends them off into the land of Canaan, if you were to boil it down to two words, the two words would obviously be, choose God. Hey, Israel, we've just come from wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. We've seen God do some amazing things. We left Egypt. He reminds them of all of this. He tells them the blessings and the cursings, the things they're supposed to do, the things they're not supposed to do. He goes over all of this. And then at the end of his statement, he says, in essence, to them, Israel, look, choose God. Now, you know, years have come and gone since the day that Joshua gave this message to the people of Israel. But the simplicity of the importance of the decision to just simply choose God is still the same today as it was then. You know, if this message that Joshua gave could be given and heeded by every person in here tonight, what a difference it would make in our church. What a difference it would make in the community, in the city of Fairmont, in the lives of the people that you know, in your life. A life of victory, a life of joy. If you and I would just, in our lives, choose God. Now, I love in verse number 14 how Joshua says here, he says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him. Now look at this, in sincerity and in truth. This is great. In sincerity and in truth. You know, there's no other way to honestly serve God but in sincerity and truth. Now, a lot of people will try to act as if they're serving God. And some people will put on for other people to see. Some people have caused Christianity, caused the relationship that we dealt with for the last two nights, have put it down to a level of just do's and don'ts, which is so weak and so small. There is something so much greater, something so much more important. Now, those things are important for us to do, but I'm telling you, all of this comes down to our choosing God and doing it in sincerity. That is, on the inside. Well, somebody says, but Brother Tim, what if I don't in sincerity want to choose God? I mean, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to choose God. What should I do? Well, the answer to that is choose God. Make the decision in your life. In your life, you decide, hey, I'm going to choose God. I'll let my emotions follow, but I'm going to choose God. Now, there are several reasons why I would suggest to you tonight why this is so important, why Joshua's message is so valuable to us. And I'm going to give you four things tonight, four reasons why I think you ought to choose God. And forgive me for using notes tonight, but with my voice, my memory is fading, so it happens. Choose God, first of all, because He's worthy of your trust. God is worthy of your trust. You know, God has your best interest at heart. Did you know that? Whenever I'm preaching to teenagers, I shouldn't say whenever, but oftentimes when I'm preaching to teenagers, I'll start them off in the time that I'm going to be speaking to them by teaching them three things that I have them repeat. I tell them, I said, look, God made you, God loves you, and God wants what's best for you. God made you, God loves you, God wants what's best for you. And then I have them say it in first person. God made me, God loves me, God wants what's best for me. Now, obviously, they're just saying it doesn't make them believe it, but it gets it at least in their brains. Because if we come to our decision of whether or not in our life we're going to choose God, if we're going to follow God or not, and we come to it from the basis of, hey, God made me, I am here, I am what I am who I am in personality, in life, I am where I am, I have the parents that I have because God made me and God wanted me to be here, then that makes a big difference. And the fact that God loves me, He declares His love, and He's demonstrated His love. God loves me, and look, God loves you. And then lastly, but certainly not coming in second or third to the other truths, is that God wants what's best for you. Now look, that's true for all of us. Now, please, let that get past your ears and past your brain and into your heart, that God wants what is best for you. I know the thoughts I have toward you, God says. God says, I know what I want to do for you. The things I have for you, it's a way of peace. It's good things that I have for you. Not that you won't have trouble, but in the midst of all your trouble, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And even unto death, you can trust me. God is worthy of our trust. Look, church, folks, you choose God. Choose God in your life, for yourself, for your family, for your life. From this day forward, you choose God. I'm telling you, He's worthy. He is worthy of your trust. He is. Did you notice the sarcasm that Joshua used in the verse? Are any of you sarcastic people? Are any of you married to a sarcastic person? Okay. Forgive me for coughing. I'm sorry. Sarcasm is something that can be, I'll say it this way. Sarcasm is not a fruit of the Spirit. However, on occasion, there are people who have the ability to use sarcasm in a fun, funny way where people aren't hurt. But sarcasm, you know, is truth exaggerated. And Joshua does it. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but look down at verse number 15, where he says to them, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." Okay, now look at this next phrase. "Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood." Okay, time out. Who are the gods that their fathers served on the other side of the flood? That's in reference to the land from which they came. Where is the land from which they came? Okay, so he's talking about the gods of Egypt. What did Jehovah God do to the gods of Egypt? He made a mockery of them. He stood them up in front of everybody, including the Egyptians, and said, "Your gods are nothing. You want to serve the god of the fly? Here's some flies for you. You want to serve the Nile? Here's some blood. You want to serve all these gods? Let me lay this out for you." And God made a mockery of the gods of the land on the other side of the flood. So I can kind of hear a little bit of sarcasm here in the voice of Joshua. You can serve the gods which were on the other side of the flood, or you can serve the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. You remember those Amorites that couldn't stand against you? We're dwelling in their land right now because their gods could not save them. Hey, Israel, hey, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then why don't you serve the gods which are on the other side of the flood? You know, those gods that we made fun of, those gods that God made a mockery of. Or you can serve the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell right now, because their gods couldn't help them in fighting against our God. And then he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As if there was any other statement that could be made. This is the God who is above all other gods. There is nobody like unto our God. Okay, so Joshua then says, "Choose God. Choose God. He is worthy of your trust." Secondly, choose God because he's spoken to your need. He's spoken to your need. God gives to us everything that we need. He lays out for us everything that we need to live life. God is not, you know this. Now forgive me for being so basic with this. But God is not a God who stands in heaven as a cosmic bully waiting for us to step out of line so that he can come down and whack us. That's not the way God works. God is interested in our best. And he speaks. Pardon me. Again, I know that's lovely to listen to. He speaks to our need. That is, God is the one who gives to us, who lays out for us. Here's Israel. Israel's left the land of Egypt for 400 years. They do not know Jehovah God. I mean, they know some about him, but he's not been revealed to them. When God appears to Moses, Moses doesn't know who he's talking to. God reveals to Moses who he, Jehovah God, is. In fact, when God says to Moses, "Moses, go get the people of Israel," Moses says, "Who am I supposed to say is sending me? What's your name? Who are you, God?" Okay, so then, during the time in the wilderness, as they're coming through and coming into the land, God is revealing himself. The Ten Commandments are a revelation to Israel about who their new God is. About who is this God, Jehovah? Yes, it's the God of Abraham. Yeah, but we haven't known him. For 400 years, we've been slaves in the land of Egypt. We don't know anything about him. So God gives to them the Ten Commandments, and he lays out for them instruction about how to live and how to live well. What is good to eat, what you don't eat. How to handle sicknesses. Setting up a series of people, of priests, who will check on different things and make sure everything runs in society the way that it is. God did not just rescue them out of the land of Egypt and then say, "Go figure it out. 1.5 million people, surely you can do something." God didn't do that. He spoke to their need. Now listen, look, just as certainly as God spoke to the needs of the people of Israel. He gave them a framework in which they could live successfully. Look, you and I today have the same thing with our God. God Jehovah has given to us in the person of His Son and certainly in His Word. He has laid out for us. He has spoken to what it is that we need. And by His Spirit in the hearts of us individually, I love this, us individually, He knows what you need. He knows where you are, which is why it is not smart. It is not smart. It is not smart for you and I to sit in a service and have God speak to our hearts and convict us of things and to throw a wet blanket on it and not and to refuse to change, because this is God speaking to us to help us along the way. He speaks to our need and He's changing us. The Bible says that it is predestined, predetermined by God that every child of God will be conformed to the image of His dear Son. He speaks to our need. However, in speaking to our need, He is gracious and kind about it. He doesn't morph us into something that we currently are not without concern for us. Have you ever looked inside a piano like this before? All right, inside this piano, there is a space of about 4 to 4.5 inches, something like that. If you have a tape measure, you can check it after the service. About 4 to 4.5 inches, and it's about 4 feet, about 4 feet tall. Okay, so let me ask you, would it be possible for me to fit into the open cavity of that piano, yes or no? That hurts my feelings. Good night, people. Look at me from the side. Okay. Well, it's possible if you have no regard for me. You cut me up in enough pieces. You use the right chemical. Yep, you could pour me in there, baby. I'd be all set. If you have no regard for me, yeah, you can. Yes, you can form me into a rectangle thingamabobber that could fit down in that piano. Okay. But that's not what God does to us. God, in time, as He speaks to our needs on a regular basis, by His Word and certainly by His Spirit, He grows us and He's always bringing us to where we need to be. Listen, don't despise the working and chastening of the Lord. If God in your heart this week, if God in your heart reveals to you something that needs to change, don't kick against the things of God. If it seems evil to you to serve God, then choose a God to serve. Choose the God of your belly. Choose the God of money. Choose the God of success. Choose the God of popularity. Choose whatever God you want to. But I'm telling you, all of those fall by the wayside and waste into nothing in comparison to the goodness and love of our God, who is a faithful God. He's a big God. He's spoken to our need. He gives us everything that we need, everything that pertains to life and godliness. God gives to us. We just simply need to choose God. Choose God. Choose God. Joshua tells these people, choose God. He's worthy of your trust. Choose God. He's spoken to your need. There's not a need you can have that God has not given Himself and His Word and His promises. Somebody says, I live with fear. And God says, well, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. God speaks to your need. Someone says, I don't have enough money. And God says, my coffers are never empty. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, somebody says, I don't have enough wisdom. I don't have enough smarts. And God says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. The fact of the matter is, there's not anything you and I can face that God is not the answer to and will not give us what it is that we need. So choose God. Well, somebody says, I don't get the answer. I'm struggling right now. I'm struggling. Okay, look. Yeah, sometimes there is some waiting that happens. But God has never been late. Not ever. It's not always on our timetable. Now, Mary thought so when her brother died. and was dead for 4 days. But God wasn't late. If he's later than what we think, he has a reason for it. So choose God. He's worthy of your trust. Choose God. He's spoken to your need. Thirdly, choose God. He empowers for every situation. For every situation. Let me just give a caveat here. God empowers for every situation that he brings in our path, not necessarily for every situation we get ourselves into. On occasion, someone can get out of, can disobey God, can disregard God's word, God's leading, and can step out on their own. It's not justifiable at that moment to say, God, you're supposed to give me everything I need for this situation. And God says, I didn't give you that situation. So that, yeah, there are scars that happens, even the lives of believers, or trials that come sometimes of our own. But let me tell you something. Anything that God leads us into, directs us into, God will always empower for every situation. Behind all of God's commands, behind all of God's opportunities, he places his omnipotence, his power, his strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You wait on God. You follow God. You choose God. You do God's bidding. You walk God's way, and there will not anything come into your life that God will not provide the strength for. If he's powerful enough to calm the raging sea and he can take care of mountains and valleys, he is big enough to take care of anything that you and I can face. God empowers for every situation that he brings into our life. And it may be, now listen friends, it may be that right now you're going through something that hurts, that is difficult, something that is over your head and you didn't ask for it. To the best of your knowledge, you didn't step out of line from following God. You were doing what God wanted you to do. And this situation seems to have been allowed by God. And sometimes you're wondering if it's Satan himself that's coming after you. And there's just something that's huge and difficult. And you're thinking, but God, it's too heavy. It's too much. Well, I'm telling you, listen to me. Choose God. He always empowers. He always empowers. Now, sometimes the strength that he gives is to just continue under the pressure. Sometimes and oftentimes is to rise victorious. But listen, whether I am Hebrews 11, first part of the passage that talks about all of the men who lived by faith and were victorious, or if I am the ones who were tortured, killed, slain, murdered for the cause of Christ, I am still an overcomer. I am still victorious through Jesus Christ by faith. Choose God. He empowers for every situation. Whether he gives me the strength to continue under the burden that he's placed in my life, or whether he gives me the strength to overcome whatever the situation is in my life, he is still worthy of my choosing him because he empowers for every situation. So choose God. Choose God. He's worthy of your trust. Choose God. He has spoken to your need. Choose God. Choose God. He empowers for every situation. And then lastly, I say this. Choose God. And keep choosing him. Choose God and keep choosing him. Let me ask you a question. All you historians out here. This day, did Israel choose God? Do you remember their answer? Did they choose God? God Jehovah, he's our God. The Lord Jehovah, we'll serve him. He's our God. He brought us out of the land of Egypt. He provided water for us. He allowed us to wander the wilderness. It's he that's fed us with manna. It is he that's going to give us victory as we go into this land. It is the Lord Jehovah. He's our God. Did they choose him? How about 40 years later? Did they choose him? 80 years later? 100 years later? Okay. Now, there were times where they came back to God. But much of Israel's history, as if you read the Bible at all, is that time after time, you and I are reading it. Now, we're reading in a microcosm. We're reading in one sitting something that took place over hundreds of years. You understand that, right? Before we blame them too much. Over hundreds of years, we read in a moment, and we see, again, pardon me, Israel, how could you make this, how could you do this, Israel? I mean, he just fed you with manna. He just made the bitter water sweet. He just brought water out of a rock. He just gave you victory. How could you do this? And here's the answer. Here's the problem. Here's what happened to Israel, and here's what will happen to us if we're not careful. Though Israel this day, in response to Joshua's great statement of choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods on the other side of the floods, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Woo, Joshua, yeah, we'll serve the Lord too. Jehovah, he's our God. Jehovah's here, he's our God. And then 100 years later, you look at them and they're godless. The reason why it came to be was because if you're going to live victoriously and consistently, you have to choose God and keep on choosing Him. Friends, do you realize that though the Christian life is not easy, it's simple. Every day you just wake up and you choose God. God, today I choose you. Yeah, but it hurts right now. But God, I choose you. Yeah, but I don't see the path clearly. But I choose you, God. But my flesh wants to, but I choose you, God. God, today, I choose you. And Joshua 24:15 is a great statement. A great statement of standing for he and his house. But let me tell you what is more important, or what is equally as important as what Joshua states here in verse 24, number 15. Chapter 24, verse number 15. Is that Joshua and his children and his children's children and his children's children after that, just every day, choose God and keep choosing Him. Just choose God every day. So let me ask you a question. Is the Lord Jehovah, is He your God? Is that who you serve through Jesus Christ? Is that who you serve? Well, friends, choose God and keep choosing Him. Never quit. Don't disregard God for a moment. Choose God. He's worthy of your trust. He's spoken to your need. He empowers for every situation. So choose God and keep choosing Him. And Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask, please, that you would impress this truth